We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, we are live. Welcome to the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast presented by Yahoo. I'm Kirk Dees. Chris Kirkwood here with my co-host, Brian Jester of Occupy Fantasy, owner, founder. The man who won $1 million with the grossest lineup I've ever seen. But that's what you have to do in Showdown. So kudos to that. Also, this guy's a crusher. He crushed preseason. He's been in second place in the FanDuel NFL Live Final. I'm psyched we're working with him. You already heard all this last week, but we are back. Let me just knock out a couple of things here. First of all, for Yahoo, before I bring Brian on, but this week I'm going to actually remember to do the promo code. So if you're new to Yahoo, sign up with promo code Grinders25. You'll get a free $25 bonus on first deposit. That's right, Grinders25. Yahoo is doing a lot of new things this year. I play there. I play there a lot. Brian's been playing there. He's been doing a bankroll challenge, but new this year, they have single game slates, which I binked one last night after a terrible miscue the week before. And I got stuck with 150 of the same optimal lineup, which was an awful night. But anyway, new this year, they do single game slates, Monday, Thursday, Sunday. They always have lower rake, lower management fees. They're doing an NFL Live Final this year. They have their $1 million baller. That's up to $15 entry this week, but this is no rake. It's the best tournament in this industry. Your first dollar of money, if you're playing DFS, should go into this tournament. Anyways, here's Brian. How'd you do week one?
Hey, what's up, Chris? Yeah, you and I both had some successful main slates on Yahoo, so I'm happy about that. A lot of the things I thought would play out did play out. And that 150 max mistake that you made, it always keeps me up at night. You know, most people, like normal people, have nightmares about like monsters and death and whatnot. For me, it's my CSV uploads didn't work properly, and I end up with either zero lineups or 150 the same lineup. So I'm sorry to hear that happen to you.
Dude, I was so mad. I was so it was just awful. So that's what, to me, that's what week one was, dusting all the rust off. So I didn't make that mistake last night. I'm more prepared. Week two, it's just going to keep getting better.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I mean, it's a good week. Not as many mispricings this time around, but again, we knocked all the rust off. Now I'm ready to get back into the groove of things.
Yeah, so just a quick big slate overview. We got five games with at least 50-point totals. You know, it's the Cowboys-Chargers game, which we'll probably talk a good amount about. There's a ton of plays in there. It's Titans-Seahawks. It's the Falcons, Bucks, Vikings, Cardinals, and 49ers, Eagles. Then we got a bunch of other games, but what we're going to do, we're going to try to tighten the show up a little bit than we did from last week. We're going to start off with QBs. We're going to then talk about some wide receivers. We're going to talk about running backs, tight ends. We're going to try to focus on the best Yahoo values at the beginning, then talk about like who our main play is, or for, I guess, if we're just doing one main lineup, which it's pretty much what I do on Sundays over there on Yahoo. I just jam it and everything. And then, just talk about some tournament options for each of the positions. We'll hit some stacks. We'll talk about a whole bunch of things. But yeah, so week two, let's start it off. Quarterback position. If we're going to follow the format for best Yahoo value, I mean, for me, it's pretty glaring. It's who I played last week. It's who I loved last week. It's who you loved last week. It's Jalen Hurts, right? $26.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't change his value much at all. On the other sites, especially DraftKings, they didn't change it really either. So yeah, again, he gets another high total game. He's put up points when he started games. And like you said, he's just a glaring value. He's a guy that it's an easy plug and play in most lineup types this week. And I know you said last week, you like getting these types of guys into your lineup at the quarterback position that can throw, but also have that rushing ability. And if you're paying up more, then I guess Kyler Murray's that guy after his huge game last week. But Chris, I mean, it's clear to me that Hurts is the number one option as far as points per dollar goes.
Yeah, I stick to my mantra. It's like, I want my quarterbacks mainly to have rushing upside, right? And so that's why I had that handful. Unless, Patrick Mahomes, he does have rushing upside, but it's a little bit less. But he's, always can play like a Mahomes, although he's not on this slate this week. But, so it's pretty much, I want the rushing upside, or there's got to be a damn good reason why I'm playing that quarterback. But like we said, so, I mean, last week he did great. 264 yards passing, 3 TDs, 7 carries. We talked about this last week, 4 starts last season, 272 yards rushing, 4 TDs. If you projected that out over the course of a full season, that's Lamar type numbers. So, I mean, that's what you're getting with this guy. The Eagles offense is playing faster. They were breaking out some no huddle last week. He's Devontae Smith looked awesome, right? Like, so there's a clear connection there. Rager caught all 6 of 6 of his targets. So it looks like this offense is getting a little bit better. The 49ers lost cornerback Jason Verrett, so their defense is a little bit banged up to an ACL. They also let the Lions keep up with them late in the game. So, I mean, it could be a similar situation this week where, if you're getting Jalen Hurts comeback, trying to get him back in the game. So that could just speed things up and be a home run. So yeah, I love Jalen. I'm not really going to say anything bad about him. And now there are some other options. And since we're talking about values, do you have any interest in any of like the guys that are projecting, at least for me, as values, but like I don't want to click on them, if you know what I'm saying? So
the Derek Carr type guys, right?
Yeah, he's the one I prefer. It's Derek Carr, Carson Wentz, Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, Tyrod Taylor. Those guys are all either $20 or $21, which is cheap, dirt right. cheap. I can get behind some Derek Carr, mainly because of Darren Waller. those other guys, I'm probably not going to have much of them. I mean, I might have some for some smaller amounts for the baller tournament for some stack game stacks and whatnot, but I don't really want to click on those guys.
Yeah, I mean, quarterback, you need the upside, right? You need the rushing potential. You need the potential to be the highest score on the slate for most contest types. And to me, it's just I don't see the upside in those guys. Yeah, we're saving a few bucks, but there are so many other values at other positions that you can save. I guess Carr is the guy like you that I would play. But Chris, I'd much rather prefer these game sacks, the high total games that you talked about, whether it's Herbert or Dak, Kyler Murray, or even Cousins in that game, Russell Wilson, Tannehill, Brady. They had one of the highest team totals of the week. Like, those are the guys I would play if I'm not playing Hurts or Murray in tournaments.
Does Derek Carr wear eyeliner, in your opinion? Did you notice dude, that?
It's tough to argue that he doesn't. I'll say that.
I was just curious if that's like his... if he, instead of the black paint under the eyes, if he just takes it a step further. Anyways,
it's like you know how catchers, they paint their fingernails so pitchers can see the signals. He paints his, or he does the eye line around his eyes so his receivers can see his eyes. Is that the the theory?
There's got to be a reason. I mean, and I was just curious. It stuck on me. Yeah. So the other guys up there at the top, right? Like the guys who have rushing upside or like earn a massive game potential. It's Russell Wilson at $35, who was extremely efficient, didn't have like monster numbers, but had extremely efficient numbers last week, and is in a good game environment that we're going to want to look to. So I can, you know, that, like I said, like I had that five list of teams that I wanted to target their defense all season long. And the Titans certainly were like my first choice there. And, you know, their secondary is just worse. And it clearly showed it. They got all sorts of problems. So, and they have a good offense, although they weren't quite clicking last week, but like they should be able to keep up with the Seahawks. So that game could just really have monster shootout potential in it. So Russ is a guy. Kyler Murray is a cheat code, right? As long as they're playing well, $37. He's probably not going to get as much ownership this week because I think everyone's going to be focused on Justin Herbert, who I do like. I love him. So I'll just give my little spiel with him. So first off, he's $33. So he's not quite, you know, up the 37 that Kyler is. He does have rushing upside, although he has a lot of passing upside too. Last week, he had a tough matchup with Washington, so he didn't have the greatest game, but it's a 54.5 point total. It should be a super fast paced game. What stuck out to me is that the Pro Football Focus grades for Dallas last week were run D sixth, which, you know, they have pretty good run D. Coverage 24th, pass rush 29th. So it sounds to me like he's going to have a lot of time to be able to pick apart this bad Cowboys secondary. They're also banged up. DeMarcus Lawrence went down. Randy Gregory's down. Those guys are their pass rushers. So he should have a bunch of time. And, you know, the Dallas was atrocious on defense, but, you know, they have a great offense. So their offense can keep them in the game. So this should be scream shootout to me. So I'm kind of torn whether I'm going to, you know, Hurts is going to be my main guy, I think. But I may, you know, end up playing two lineups and like put all like half of it in cash with Hurts, and I might end up using Herbert on GPP. I haven't quite decided yet, but that's what I'm thinking. What about you?
Yeah, so the injuries are interesting, right? Like when you have a team lose guys midweek or mid-game, I mean, that's massive for the outlook of that defense. And the fact that they're down two of their pass rushers, this game total is already 54.5. They're already expected to play fast. Herbert's, you know, outside of Hurts is definitely the next best value and potentially has even more upside in that game environment. So yeah, Herbert is probably my favorite tournament option. And again, if you're going to play him, and we saw this last week, if you played Hurts was the most popular quarterback on the slate in most contests, but no one played his receivers with them. Like in the contest I played, Devonta Smith was 7%, Goddard was 3%, Rager and Quez Watkins were even less. So if you play Herbert, he's going to be popular, but if you play him with Keenan Allen, you play him with Jared Cook, who we'll talk about, you play him with Eckler even, and then you run him back with one of the Dallas receivers, then all of a sudden your lineup is lower owned than just Herbert by himself.
Sure. And Mike Williams. Yeah, I'm definitely stacking somebody with Herbert if I'm playing Herbert. You know, and I did point out to you when I sent you the second place winning $50,000 lineup on Yahoo last week. I'm going to pull it up here. It was I told you, I mean, it's that just ends up happening a lot is that, you know, stacks less important because there's so many value plays that end up like being just, you could just layer value. But this lineup looked like a must have been somebody's season long lineup that they just entered in, right? It was Mahomes to a Chiefs D stack, 50K. And then just like a bunch of like decent good players that just all across the board that, you know, DeAndre Swift, McCaffrey, Thielen, Samuel, Lockett. There was no rhyme or reason, it seems like, but that happens on Yahoo quite frequently. But yeah, so I mean, Keenan Allen is definitely the preferred piece. I mean, and I played him in my main lineup last week. Yeah, I like that a lot. Any other guys you looking at here? Tom Brady, I mean, $41 is high, but he's going to get low ownership because of that. Tua, any Josh Allen. I mean, I got to mention Josh Allen bounce back, right?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing concerning with him last week was, even though he wasn't under pressure a ton, his off target rate was back to his rookie year scouting report levels. So that's definitely painful. And Miami has a pretty good defense, but again, he rates pretty well this week in most projection systems. If I'm paying up, I'm probably going with Brady just because of the team totals nearly 32.5 points. And he's got three different options you can stack with him. So for me, if I'm paying up, it's probably Brady. But again, I think, you know, we saw this with Hurts last week. He could have scored a lot more points if Atlanta kept up in any capacity whatsoever. And I'm afraid that might happen again this week for Tom Brady and they're running the ball more in the second half. So for me, I think I'm just sticking with those higher total games with the closer spreads, whether it's Seattle, Tennessee, Dallas, and the Chargers, or even Arizona and Minnesota for my main quarterbacks in tournaments.
Yeah, Tannehill could be interesting in this one too, because no one's going to play him. He's going to be down there.
They
got to
bounce back, right? They can't look as bad as they did last week.
I mean, but their D is so bad. They're going to have to just, you know, as long as they're playing another team that can score, the offense should be in good situation. So I think Tannehill is a really sneaky one for this week for Yahoo, in the baller. All right, let's move it on over to wide receivers, pairing with our QBs here.
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
Best Yahoo values right off the, I mean, this is probably every site everyone's looking at. So we know Michael Gallup went down. We love this Chargers Dallas game. Gave the reasons with the Dallas defense is, you know, horrendous, but their offense is good. And Amari Cooper looked amazing in that first opening game Thursday night. CeeDee Lamb, you know, you can choose either of these guys or both, 24-23. We can get down, maybe you can touch on Cedric Wilson if you think that he's potentially in play for this game on Yahoo specifically. But those are the top two, at least from an ownership standpoint too, that, I mean, they're going to be extremely popular, but it's hard to get away from, right?
I mean, they're underpriced, right? And if you're playing them in game stacks, you have to. If you're playing a low risk lineup, your main lineup, I think you have to play one, if not both of those guys, because again, Gallup's out. They're going to throw a ton. You got to lay both of them. They're the clear plays. And unlike last week, we don't have a bunch of $12 and $14 wide receiver ones, right? Like we saw Robbie Anderson last week at $14. The guys that are values this week are more wide receiver 2-3 type guys. So obviously Cedric Wilson, he's $10. He's a great value in tournaments. I don't know if you'd want to play him in your main lineup as a wide receiver 3, but LaVisca, Michael Pittman, Terrence Marshall, Devontae Parker, these are the guys that stood out to me as values. But Chris, none of those guys are super intriguing where it was like last week, I got to jam them into my lineup. I don't feel that great about any of them, but you know, on a points per dollar projections basis, they are values.
And it's like, you don't need them on Yahoo because you go just a little bit further and you get to some real talent. So I'm going to mention a couple of those guys, get your thoughts on. I mean, I guess the other pivot off of Amari Cooper, or maybe even playing with them, you know, CeeDee Lamb, the same price point, because 24 and 23 for the Cowboys guys. Cooper Kupp is only $22.
Yes.
10 targets, 7 catches, 108 yards in that game. You attack the Colts over the middle. I mean, that's just something that's what you should be doing. And we saw that with Tyler Lockett. That helped me. I had a big week for my main lineup on Yahoo, and it was because of Tyler Lockett, which I did mention to that Hayden Winks call.
It worked out, right?
I mean, I'm whatever he says this week, I'm all in until he shows me otherwise. So Cooper Kupp, are you on board?
On board. Yeah. But all these guys you've mentioned so far are the first guys that I thought were the best pure Yahoo plays. They're great plays on other sites too, but right, like their pricing, the two Dallas receivers and Cooper Kupp, I think are the best pure upside dollar, whatever you want to call it, the best pure plays. And then to me, there are other options that you can play in tournaments where you can play up a little more, pay up a little more. Guys like Hopkins, Diggs, Justin Jefferson, guys up in that range, the Tennessee receivers, if you're playing Tannehill, Ridley, those guys, I think because most of the ownership is going to be in that $20 to $25 range, we could see a little bit lower ownership on those guys.
Yeah, Ridley bounce back is in play. He was pretty popular last week, but you know, no one's going to want to play him, especially at how bad the Atlanta offense looked and how good Tampa's defense is, you know, and they cannot succeed if they're going to just run Mike Davis a bunch of rushes against this Tampa Tampa D. So there, I mean, he's Matt Ryan's gonna have to chug it. Matt Ryan sucks, but I've always said that. But hopefully they can get things going. If he does have can lead this team to a good game, then Calvin Ridley should be the guy, right?
Totally.
A couple of names that stood out to me that on the cheap end. I mean, Tyler Boyd is interesting to me at $15 there. I mean, he's that screams like a big value. He had a bad game, but the matchup is there for him this week. He gets the best matchup on the field against the slot Marquis Christian, I think it is. On the Bears, you know, Bears are a good D, pretty good D. They looked pretty decent, but Tyler Boyd is certainly a guy that's going to be forgotten because everybody is, you know, with Jamar Chase, with Higgins, the fact that Burrow wasn't throwing a ton. I mean, there's a lot of reasons not to go there, but he's going to get overlooked. And I know the kind of upside and he's got that slot matchup that I like. So that's one of my guys. Another guy is Deontay Johnson at $19, double digit targets in 8 of his last 10 games. He had a sick TD catch last week. Ben is terrible. Talk about another quarterback who really does not look good these days. But, you know, and everyone's talking Najee Harris, but like first of all, their offensive line has big problems and they want to pass. Ben wants to pass. That's all he wants to do. I mean, they basically played last season without a running back. You know, and yeah, there was a lot of talk and yes, he's got 100% of the snaps and yes, there was more usage up, but I still believe that like they want to be, Ben at least wants to be a passing offense. So those are my two plays. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on them and then see if you got any guys for me.
Yeah, I like Deontay Johnson, going to get peppered with targets. Boyd is interesting purely because of the price. What concerns me is the fact that Cincinnati had the lowest pass rate over expectation last week. They ran the ball a ton on early downs. And I don't know if that was game plan specific or they're trying to ease Joe Burrow back into action. I'm not sure what it is. So that's a little concerning just from a volume standpoint. The one final receiver I'll mention that I like a lot in that middle price range is Jacoby Myers. And he's $17 going against the Jets and 9 targets last week. Should continue to get a bunch of targets this week. And he's one of my favorite plays overall, but also in that range.
I love him. I mean, I'm a Pats fan. I think Mac looked pretty good. You can't really, the Jets are pretty good against the run and they have the good personnel there to stop that, but their secondary is so bad that, you know, I can see Belichick just like running this ball over and over again, and it's going to drive me nuts, but he shouldn't. And Myers is the guy. I don't think he's had a receiving touchdown.
Ever in his life.
I don't think he had one all last season, but he was like the man, right? And I don't think he ever had. So yeah, if he doesn't score against the Jets, then I'll stop playing this guy. But I like that call a lot. He was my next guy there. The other ones, we have to talk about because Keenan Allen, but his price got moved up to $29. First of all, he should be able to pick apart a Dallas coverage, you know, and he also has the best matchup on the field against Jordan Lewis, who gave up most of the production to Chris Godwin. This is just a top matchup for him. And, you know, we know the kind of target volume that this guy gets. He's right up there at the top. So Keenan Allen's there is a good spend, but Mike Williams looked awesome and he looked like the clear red zone target. So, or end zone target, I should say. So his price is kind of high and, you know, he won't project well, I don't think. Certainly we should be looking at him in game stacks.
Yeah, but he's the type of guy that's perfect for Yahoo or even any site, right? Where they don't project as a pure value, but they have so much upside in a big game environment, stacking with quarterbacks or the opposing quarterback. So yeah, I like Mike Williams' call too.
Touchdown upside. Yep. So that's all I got written down here. You got any other final ones, or should we move it on over to running backs?
I think we can move it on. I mentioned Justin Jefferson, DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Brown, Julio Jones. Those guys as part of game stacks, I think, are the other pay-up options.
Yep. Jefferson is definitely, because especially after Thielen's big game, but it's just the game environment in general. It's his higher price. He's probably not going to project a ton. So you probably won't see a ton of ownership on him, but we know the kind of monster upside he has. I talked a lot last week about how Arizona's secondary should be worse this season. You know, that, you know, they were going to be counting on Malcolm Butler, which was a downgrade anyone. But anyways, running backs. So interesting week at running backs, at least to me, because, you know, typically see if we're going to be jamming in the Alvin Kamara's, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, you know, maybe Derrick Henry. I mean, these guys are all extremely expensive, but it's also harder to play them this week. We don't have the, you know, if we're going to want to try to get some of these 24, 23, you know, pretty much we want to play all these $24, $23 wide receivers. It's going to get pretty tough. And there's a decent mid range. So for me, the best Yahoo values at the start, one is Henderson on the Rams for $18, 49 of 52 snaps, 16 rushes for 70 yards, plus a touchdown versus a tough run D of Chicago. It's a tough matchup again, for sure. But, you know, volume does typically trump all. It is a high powered offense. There's a lot of equity there for touchdown equity. So I can get behind him. And then the other one, Chris Carson is standing out to me, too, for $24. But what are your thoughts on those two guys?
Yep, I marked those two guys down as well. Henderson to me was the top value. He's what, $18 on Yahoo? And when you have someone getting that type of volume in that high power of an offense on a team that likes to run in the red zone and in the black zone around the goal line, Henderson's a great value. Carson was another guy with Rashad Penny being banged up. I'm sure Alex Collins will still get some work, but that definitely raises the floor a bit for Carson with Penny out of the picture. You talked about Najee Harris before. He's cheap. There is questions about the efficiency there with the offensive line, but again, like Henderson, when you're getting 100% of the snaps, it's hard to turn that down for that price. And then Joe Mixon's the other guy in that range whose price didn't increase much from last week that should have a big workload again.
Yeah, that's the mid-range right there. And it's easy to plug those guys in. And I mean, so Carson gets a great game environment. 16 carries for 91 yards, got some targets, 78% of the snaps. Penny's hurt. Right. There's just a lot of touchdown equity potentially there for him. It's a good offense he's part of. Najee Harris, like you said, 100% of the snaps is going, you know, efficiency is a concern. Now, the thing that should help that is should be the Raiders defense against the rush. So he could have a better game. I played him in my main lineup last week, but I wanted to, and it's only because I ran out of time and I was trying to get off of him and on to Mixon. I just ran out of time. So I got stuck with him and I still ended up being fine, but I was so mad because he was doing, I was like, I am the biggest fish. I didn't want this fish play. I was like screaming. The usage was there for sure. Joe Mixon looks like that's the guy I want. Yep. 29 carries. And like you said, Burrow passing less, and it's probably a scheme thing because they want to, you know, prolong him and he's coming back from injury. He's also got, you know, he had four targets. It is a tough matchup, but he should be able to do okay. The interesting pivot there that no one's going to play, and you probably are going to hate this play if I had to guess, but because most fantasy analysts have been hating this guy and it's been driving me nuts, but David Montgomery, I know there's definitely reasons not to play this guy from the, you know, Williams took a lot of the passing work. And so that was kind of answered whether he would see as much of the passing work as he was seeing towards the end of last season. But man, I've been on, everyone who listened to our pod last year knew, like, I was on this guy from week one, the entire season. I think he's good. I think he's an electric running back. I think he's just had a bad offensive line, a terrible quarterback, which is the same thing that, Todd Gurley had for a night. And I was big on Todd Gurley too, back in the day. And yes, Gurley, once his knees, you know, went out, he's not the same player, but he was certainly good for a couple of years. And I think Montgomery is extremely similar to that. But I think he makes for a nice pivot off of Joe Mixon in that same game. He gets a better matchup. It's just and it's just that maybe they're in control of this game, and this guy can break off some good fantasy points. So that, I don't know. Do you hate that one?
No, I like it. I mean, $25, he's pretty cheap, and he did look good last week. And I know a lot of people were concerned about his volume and passing game role coming into the season. His schedule late last year was easy. But no, I think at $25, he's one of the better plays. I think it's safe to say, right, we have a pretty clear line of construction this week for main contests, right? Your low risk, your small field contest, where it's you pay that $20, $25. Basically, all your players are in that $20 range, right? Like, yeah. It feels to me like 2-3 running backs should be in that $18 to $25 range, right?
Yeah, because it's too hard to miss out on this, like Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb. Now, if they bust, somebody's going to look like a genius with their lineup with McCaffrey and Dalvin and a bunch of no names and receiver. But that's the pretty clear lineup construction to me, especially at this point. I mean, who knows if we'll get some news and whatnot that change anything. But and there's more too, and there's more down low that interests me a little bit too. I'm interested in Ronald Jones at $13.
Bro, I can't believe you said that, because I had it written down. I was like, I don't know if I want to bring this guy up, but you said it first. So you take it away, because I agree with you 100%.
All right. I'll take the credit if it hits.
Sounds good. Let's hear. I want to know why you like him, and I'll see if it's.
I mean, so he got benched for a clear fumble that was just a really good play by the opposing defense. And I think if like a rational coach and Arians like looks, goes back and calms down. And then the next play, Fournette caused an awful play too. So it's like Ronald Jones is like their best actual rusher, right? Like between the tackles rusher, and he's dirt cheap. And this is a game. Atlanta is awful, and Atlanta's defense is horrendous. And this is a game that the Bucs are favored by almost two touchdowns. And if Arians puts that back out of his mind, yes, there's going to be some Fournette in there, but Ronald Jones, it doesn't take much to pay off $13. It takes one end zone, you know, one carry over the goal line. And he certainly can break off like a monster run. And he may, and they're already giving him the coach speak too, that he is the starting running back. Now, is that fake or is that real? I don't know. I don't trust any of these guys half the time, but he's $13. And if it is real and you're getting a talented running back on a high powered offense for $13 with two touchdown favorites against a horrendous D that nobody wants to play.
Yes.
Like the ownership on him is, I'm showing like 2%. Like, so, I mean, I'm, you know, maybe that'll come up. I don't really trust early week ownership, but that seems like a play to me that I got to make sure I have some, like I got to manually bump and get him in there no matter
what. I agree 100%. I agree. All the reasons you listed, and you know, whether or not we believe Arians is one thing, but basically what we were looking for is Arians not saying, Jones is benched. He's never seen the field again. He didn't say that. He said he's in the mix. He's going to start. That's all we need to hear, because as long as we cross our fingers and Rojo doesn't fumble on his first carry again, then he's going to get work against in a really good game script or a really good game script.
And he's pissed off, right? Like he's pissed off that he got benched. And so, yeah, like that seems like the play to me. I think Chase Edmonds, like there's just so many guys. We could sit here and talk about all these guys, but like Chase Edmonds is getting much more work now. We know he's electric in the passing for a pass now back, but he's also, I mean, if he's getting more snaps, more carries in a good game environment, he's cheap. I like that. I mean, I would rather play him on DraftKings for sure with the PPR points, but I like his price. So I think there's a lot of ways to go there. So I probably am not going to have much McCaffrey, Cook, or maybe, I mean, I probably will have some Dalvin for some game stacks. And maybe that would be a good way to play. Ronald Jones would make that work potentially, guys like him. But
that's your clear. Yeah. That's like your clear lineup construction differentiator, right? Yeah, everyone's going to play middle price guys. You play some cheap guys and some of these stud running backs, and that's how you get different in tournaments.
And I'm gonna have like in my like main lineup where I'm jamming in everything, I'm gonna be like close to that, like what optimal is. But I'm gonna have like one or two spots that I pick out that I think have more upside.
Cool.
Kenyon Drake might end up becoming a thing. If Jacobs is out, just want to get that out there. He's only $15, but he could be the the workhorse. Tough matchup with Steelers D, but certainly I can see that. All right.
Are you real quick? Are you chasing Eli Mitchell at all at $19 after his performance last week?
No. I'm a guy who was drafting Sermon. You know, I'm hoping
you and me both.
Like, so I'm hoping that Sermon is the guy, and this was just like something. So I'm not chasing it. I don't know. What were your thoughts?
I mean, he sticks out at $19, but there's so many guys in that range. And again, on Yahoo, where the contests are smaller, you don't have to get that crazy at running back. And for a guy whose workload we don't know for sure, when all these other guys have safe workloads, I don't think you need to play him.
I get it. $19. He's going to be he's going to be popular, right? Like, and for good reason, but he feels like the fade to me.
I agree.
So that's the kind of way I was thinking of it. But all right, so now we're going over to I know there's one guy who's just probably you're just going to say lock button. So let's just start out with the main play on Yahoo this week is Darren Waller at $22. So there's nothing, you can't say anything wrong with this guy. This is a legit wide receiver one. You go back to last year, he was second in targets amongst all tight ends and wide receivers last season. He was ninth in touchdowns, so top 10 in touchdowns, right? And he got 19 targets in their first game last week, right? Like, so it's insane. And the second most air yards he's there. So it's like you're legitimately getting a legit wide receiver one for tight end, and his price is still low. So he's that $22-$23 range, and he's not that 33 Kelce, which I did play for my main lineup last week, even though I think I said in GPPs the way to try to beat him, which didn't work so well for me because I had a bunch, except for Hockenson. Hockenson worked pretty well. But, I mean, Waller's the man, right? Like, you got to play Waller for, like, a cash or a main lineup.
I think you have to. The target volume is too good. And the price, it's interesting, right? Because if Kelce was 33 last week, why is Waller $11 cheaper this week, right? Obviously, there's different pricing dynamics, but he's as far too cheap for his role. And if you compare it to other stud tight ends in his range, he's too cheap. So, I think main lineups, you play him. And then in tournaments, you play what you said last week is maybe you go cheaper or higher up and pray that one of those guys can catch a touchdown. The lineup works out otherwise. Or maybe Pittsburgh focuses on Waller. Whatever it may be. But I think the median outcome is too good for Waller at his price.
Yeah, and it just looks, yeah, it looks so, I mean, the volume, I mean, he could get hurt, anything can happen, but the volume is there. It just looks so solid. Now there's an obvious pivot for $1 more, George Kittle. All right, like it would it shock anybody for George Kittle to outperform Waller? Absolutely not, right?
Nope, at a fraction of the ownership too, right? So yeah. I mean, yeah, that's an easy tournament pivot for sure. I like him. And then who are some of the guys, if you're digging towards the bottom of the salary range, who are guys you like?
I got three others that I actually like. Okay. I like Jared Cook. Five catches on 8 targets, great game environment, $13 cheap. Only played 6 more snaps than Donald Parham. So that's a little concerning, but he did look like the main offensive tight end weapon for them. Gronk just nuked Dallas. So it's just another way that's honestly shocked me with watching Gronk. I'm a Pats homer, you know, that's my team always been, but I never expected that out of Gronk in the first game.
That was wild, man. I didn't expect it either, obviously, and in my showdown ROI reflects it from last Thursday. But yeah, I didn't expect him to have, because we saw last year, right, for Gronk, that they played him kind of part-time all year, played him alone in one playoffs in the Super Bowl, and then they come out week one and play him
another year older role, so. Another right. year older, yeah, like but he it just says to me that there was a lot more going on in New England that these guys wanted out.
True.
Tyler Higbee, $16, 100% of snaps, which is amazing. Second most targets. There was a game that they were comfortably ahead all game, so they didn't need much, but he was still 5 for 6 for 68 yards. There's no more Gerald Everett. He's a clear. He is the man for tight end. We know that this guy can perform. So that's a guy I like. The last guy I like is Dallas Goedert, especially with Ertz is already a little bit banged up again. I don't think he's going to miss it or anything, but he's already there was reports about a little bit of his hamstring issue.
Yep. So you mentioned those three guys, and I wrote down two of those, Higbee and Cook. So we're clearly on the same page on a lot of these plays this week and last week too. And I'll add one more in Noah Fant against Jacksonville. With Jerry Jeudy down, that opens up a couple more targets in the passing game. And Fant at $18, I don't think a lot of people will play him there when you could pay up for Waller or pay down for Cook. So I think Fant's another tournament option.
Yeah, good call. I'm writing that down. I actually forgot all about him. And, you know, and that brings me to Cortland, go back to wide receiver for a second. We never touched, but like Cortland Sutton's not getting enough love with the situation potentially. I mean, yeah, this is, we want some players against Jacksonville. You know, we went against this Jags defense, which just looked atrocious. So, against Houston, you know, so Cortland Sutton, I definitely, it was an oversight. We don't need to even consider like Tim Patrick on Yahoo or anything. You know, I know he's getting a lot of talk and for like DK and whatnot, but he's the same price, $17. It's $1 lower than Cortland Sutton. To me, I still believe Cortland Sutton's the man. Like for that team, I so that's the guy that I want to have.
Because I want to interrupt and ask you about that, because obviously we have cheaper guys on DraftKings and FanDuel, but I ask you this because you play Yahoo so much, you've played it for years now. Like, is there any reason to play those types of pivots on the same team at the same price? Because like I said earlier, the contests aren't as big. And you can get different in other ways. Like, is there any reason to play some of these wide receiver two and wide receiver three when you get wide receiver ones for the same price?
I always call it, I play cash lineups on steroids. I prefer if my players actually are on steroids and don't get caught, but it's cash lineups on steroids. So it's like, what I mean by that is like, it's pretty optimal build with like a little bit extra upside in there. It's, you know, so I always like, I think that I can find a spot that has a little bit more upside because your main contests are like 10 to 20 man contests, right? So it's like you don't need to get crazy. Now in the baller, I was looking through my reviewing my 150 lineups, and man, you know who killed? I had so many like good lineups that was killed by one player, and I was like, how did I get so much of this damn guy? Diame Brown.
If you got points for snaps, you'd have been all right.
Because I know exactly. I know. I wish I did. And I was like, how the heck did I get this guy so much? It was just an oversight by me. You know, like I said, I was behind the eight ball and like, literally it's like death taxes. And Sunday at 12:59 is when my upload goes in, because it's like, and I'm praying that it like makes it, because like, it literally takes me like to last. Cause like, it was like the Mostert news. Who else? Zach Moss.
Yeah. Like how did you handle the Mostert news, by the way? Because that was I know a lot of people were talking about that.
I ended up not taking a stance on it. I ended up not playing him a ton because I still never trust running backs in Shanahan's system. So I didn't have much of him at all. I had friends who went heavy on him and moved like everything to him.
That's what I did on FanDuel and DraftKings. Yahoo, his price wasn't as appealing at 26 or whatever it was last week. So I got him in, I think, one of three lineups over there. But yeah, on the other sites, I definitely tried to jam him in more because of the price.
So I maxed on, I only played the slant on DK and I maxed that. And I didn't have too much of him. And that was on per. I was torn because I think like the field, like it used to be like when a play like that happens, you jam it in because he's so low owned that no one does it. But I feel like it's completely opposite nowadays, that like everybody jams that play in.
Right. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to say. I mean, because no one thought that Eli Mitchell would be a factor. No one thought that Jamal Hayes would be a factor. And so when Trey Sermon was ruled out, I think everyone just assumed that, and I think probably rightfully so, that Mostert would get 60-70% of the work in a great game script, in a great offense. So I think to me, from a process standpoint, I think it made a ton of sense to play a bunch of them. But again, it depended on the site too, because you didn't get that much more with him on Yahoo.
Yeah, I wasn't like arguing against him or anything like sure, that. Sure. I think he was definitely a good. It felt fishy to me. Like, not fishy. It felt like I go down too often with San Fran running backs. All right, that's it. Did we wrap this up in record time, at least for the Tournament Takes Pod Show? Any final words or one final, if you had the person who's playing one stack in the baller again this week, who I did give him a good stack last week. I said to play Kyler to nuke in one entry. But if you had to give advice to one person, the guy playing one lineup out there and you're making it right now, who's your stack?
To me, the one stack this week is Herbert and Jared Cook. And that's a tournament lineup for the baller where you're not playing Waller. You're getting a cheap piece of a high scoring game and you're stacking that game with a 55 point total or whatever it is. And again, Herbert's one of the more popular plays, but I mean, that game stack's too good for tournaments. You can get different in other spots.
Mine, I'm going to say Tannehill.
Okay.
It's like, do I play Julio? Do I play AJ Brown? It's going to be AJ
Rodgers. That's who it is.
Really?
No. Somehow he led the team in air yards last week, but I think that was a
well, you got to play him. Chester. There you go. I can't tell you how much money I've lost playing DFS golf. Cause there's a guy named Chris Kirk on tour that I, that
you,
I would,
if you played him a lot, then, You've had some issues then.
Yeah, I used to play him. I used to play him every slate. Oh, just because. And Keith Kirkwood. So that's my guy. Keith, I have a signed Keith Kirkwood jersey.
That's pretty sick, actually.
Yeah. And my girl did that. She DM'd him on Instagram and got it done for me. And
I can't imagine he gets too many of those requests. So I'm sure he's happy to do it.
He got traded like right at like he was going because he was like it took him a while to actually send it. And I think he was already going to Carolina off the Saints by that point.
That's pretty sick.
Anyways, this has been the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast. Thank you to Brian. Thank you to all you listening, and we'll catch you again next week.
Good luck.